It's been a while.
Yeah, do you remember when we used to do a podcast on a regular-ish sort of basis?
No, sorry.
Yeah.
It's not ringing any bells, really.
No, I've got more. This might ring a bell. Mm. Inconsequential airport stories.
Yeah, they were... Well, I hesitate to call them a series because it wasn't as structured as that. It didn't have any kind of linear development or structure. But it was a number, let's just put it like that. A number. A randomly generated number.
An occasional theme.
An occasional theme of... Well, it resulted from your travels, didn't it? Chance encounters in airports. Banal and mundane experiences in aeroplanes.
Mm.
And the occasional brush with celebrity.
Exactly. Well,
like Torhoshov's daughter screaming at insecurity in Monaco Airport.
Oh, yes. That was actually... In the south of Turkey. In the south of Turkey. I was coming back from a tour of Turkey.
Yeah.
He was coming back from his Turkish holiday.
Turkish
holiday.
Yeah, with his little daughter who wasn't
happy. Who's got some good lungs on her.
Well, like her dad.
And there was another one, actually, in the Middle East. Do you remember I met this Ethiopian...
Ringer.
Kenyan...
Ringer.
Marathon runer.
Running for Qatar
or Bahrain.
Someone. Yeah. Yeah,
and he lied about his personal best because he said his personal best was two hours and 7 minutes.
And you looked him up and
said it was actually 2 minutes and eight. And I thought, oh, your best. Anyway, I got another one,
which reminded me of my friend I probably told this first time round. Yeah. I'll say it again. That story reminded me of my friend who was in his late 30s. Mm. So he's kind of 37, 38 ish, and he started going out with a girl.
Yeah.
Who was 22.
Hey.
Right, big difference. He met her in the pub,
mm-hmm.
and they kind of got on quite well, and you know, things moved on quite fast. And then one date became two dates, and all that kind of thing. And it came to the point, you know, relatively early on, where he said, "How old are you?" And she said, "I'm 22." And Mike kind of went, "I'm a little bit older than that.
Mm-hmm.
He was 37, right?
Right.
I'm 35."
And again, there's no point in lying like
but they
that,
were together for years and years and years and years. And his mum always used to send him birthday cards with his with his age on.
2 years younger.
And he used to panic the night before his birthday and set the alarm so he got up early enough to intercept the post.
and remove his
mum's birthday card and throw it in the bin. I remember. Anyway, in answer to your question, yes, I remember inconsequential airport stories, but I can't remember who you are.
Yeah. I've got one.
What, an inconsequential... One of you. You've got a Matt Rendell.
You have got a Matt Rendell.
Yeah.
And so have you.
Yeah, mine's... it's inconsequential.
Oh, yours is quite consequential.
No, it fits into the...
Yeah.
Yeah, it fits into the... Broadly, into the, under the umbrella of inconsequential airport stories.
Mm.
Who's going to go first?
Let's start with mine, because mine is just inconsequential.
Okay.
And yours has got a little bit of...
And
Qatar Airport. Coming back from...
I'm imagining it. Yeah, what's the duty free like?
Airport.
Does it sell booze?
Nah. Don't know.
Okay.
Can't remember.
Right.
I never looked.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Talking about Muslims and alcohol.
Yeah.
This item has been removed on advice of our in-house legal team. Live on national television.
That's multiculturalism for you.
It's grotesque.
Yeah.
Anyway, carry on.
No. Qatar Airport, get there early. Flying back after this amazing week I had, or 10 days, commentating from a motorbike for Al Jazeera.
And not urinating in a commentator's booth.
And not urinating, signally failing to urinate in a commentator's booth. Because if I had done...
It would have got all over Carlton Kirby.
Yeah. And which reminds me, yesterday, this gentleman and his son came up to us...
And
he had an autograph book.
The young lad,
an autograph book.
At the presentation of the riders in the tour of Paris-Roubaix.
Yeah. And the lad was heading towards me to ask me for his autograph. And his dad goes, no, not him. But clearly audibly to us, right? To me, because I'm the person who was being told, you are inconsequential, like my story. But we'll get on to it. So anyway... You're signing his book. And he's going, ITV's Ned Bolton, ITV's Ned Bolton. And this guy says to me, you're Carlton Kirby, aren't you? I said, in a state of shock.
Go on, blood.
And I said, no. And he grabbed my accreditation. Sort of plastic card that we have hung round our neck. And which is actually quite personal when someone grabs reads my name. Oh, no, you're Matt Rendell.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah. That's right. And he goes, oh, well, get his autograph as well. So he's like, get his autograph as well. And I'm like, oh,
did you, say, you signed it, yeah?
So, I just gave him an autograph. Yeah, I signed his autograph. What I wrote... Carlton Kirby. Anyway, so I'm at Qatar Airport.
Yeah.
With
Carlton Kirby?
No.
He was on a different flight.
He was on a different flight. He was going the following day. Yeah. And I went for a cup of coffee. I had a lot of time to go. Went for a cup of coffee. Mm. And there was a table with a woman in a wheelchair sitting there. It was the only free place. I went, I said, can I sit here? And she said, yeah. Sat down. She was Danish. And got China. I said, where have you been? She'd been in Sri Lanka having medical treatment, some kind of, I think, spiritual retreat.
Right.
Having medical treatment. Very interesting person, a historian and stuff, just being a doctor. And we talked all about that. Very, very nice. And she had a wasting disease that was killing her.
Right.
And she said, what have you been doing? I said, well, I've been commentating on a bicycle race. Oh, bicycle race. Yeah. Didn't know anything. Didn't know there was such a thing as professional cycling. Right. And then she said, no, wait a minute.
Had she not listened to the real peloton?
Believe. Some people just live on another planet.
Yeah.
Denmark. And she said, no, come to think of it, my physiotherapist in Denmark...
Yeah. ...is Carlton Kirby.
He loves his cycling.
Right.
And I said, well... She goes, yeah, now I come to think of it, I did know there's such a thing as professional, because my figure goes, he talks about it, he's passionate about it, and so on. At that point, one Bernard Eisel,
off of Austria,
who's really nice, walks past, and he goes, hello, mate. I said, hello, Bernie. I said, listen, Bernie, could I take your photograph with... my friend here, I can't remember what her name is, it was a while ago, and he said, yeah, of course. And Bernie's he's an extremely nice chap. And he sat down, and I took their photograph, and we chatted for a while, and then actually I helped her to her plane, and she went off and stuff. I sent her this photograph.
Yes.
Of her and Bernie Eisel.
Yes.
And
we're building to a denouement. Yes.
Yeah. And said, show this to your physiotherapist
in Denmark, who is into professional cycling. And it's a picture of Bernie Eisel.
You know who Bernie Eisel is. who didn't even know the sport existed, are here with one of the best professionals.
That's not inconsequential. That builds to a crescendo of excitement. That's extraordinary. Yes.
Isn't it?
Marvellous moment. Marvellous moment.
Wow.
Is that the only good thing you've ever done in your life?
I feel exhausted now. Being nice. Nice is hard. That's why I'm never nice. It's just draining.
Well, you are ostensibly nice with a nasty side.
Yeah. But, come on, Bolting. Right. Give us your... Beat that, sunshine.
Right.
Doff.
Imagine the situation.
I'm there. I'm trying. I got my eyes shut.
I've got a real problem here because I can't actually pronounce the name of the airport. Ajax... No, that sounds wrong.
Ajaccio.
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 Ajaccio. Ajaccio. Ajaccio. It's in Corsica.
Yeah, of Corsica it is.
Flying back from the International Criterium, which was won by...
The Criterium International.
Which was won by Christopher Alfred Froome.
Mm.
We were working on it. And anyway, it's very early flight in the morning. And I had the journey from hell. I had to get that day from Corsica, from Ajaccio in Corsica, which is tiny,
Montenegro.
My final point was the capital of Montenegro,
which is
everybody knows. It's Podgorica.
Of course it is.
Which is the shittiest place I've ever been in my life.
Yeah, but I tell you what, it's not the shittiest pod around, because we just recorded.
No, that's true. That's true. In fact, this is welcome to Podgorica. The shittiest pod you can imagine. So it's early in the morning, and I've got some work to do waiting for this flight. So we're in this tiny little departure lounge waiting to get on this tiny little aeroplane. And I'm actually heads down, and I've got a pile of manuscripts, proofs for my book that I've got to go through and make final corrections to.
Have you written a book?
I've written a book. so I've got my, and I'm kind of got headphones in, and I'm in another world, frankly. And I, but out of my peripheral vision, I realised that the flight's been called and everyone's kind of trundling to the gate and they're about to go on the plane. But I'm sure, like you, like people tend to do, I'm always the last. Well, I try and be the last to get up.
No, because, no, I don't do that.
Are you always,
I know you people.
Oh, your elbows out. And
no,
all
because
that
I've always got loads of. I'm always carrying heavy bags. I need to get a space in the overhead locker.
Oh, okay.
So I sort of go.
Yeah.
Quite early.
Right.
And people like you look down and think, idiots.
Yeah.
I have criteria. There are criteria for this.
Yeah.
Even though it appears there
are criteria.
There are international criteria. There are criteria international. Of Corsica, there are.
Only in Corsica. So I'm at the point where I think, oh, actually, there's no one left there. I better get up now. I shuffle all my papers together, stuff them in a bag, take the headphones off. And only at that point do I realise that sitting right opposite me and doing the same thing by playing the Leave It Late game are...
Messrs.
Messrs. Christopher Alfred Froome, Richard Wilson Port, John Martin Dombrowski. What's his name?
Dombrowski. Dombrowski.
Dombrowski. Martin Dombrowski.
Yeah, exactly. And
Geoffroy Kevin Lecatre.
Les Vêtements Manufacturer.
And I think Johnny Cantwell.
Oh, yeah. Jonathan Cantwell. Turned professional age 29.
All flying to Nice because of Nice's extraordinary proximity to Monaco, with all the advantages that that brings with it for high-earning athletes.
Ah, good training roads.
Good training roads.
Do you know, Nice is nice.
And an excellent National Health Service.
Nice is nice.
Nice is... No, is it?
Nice is Nice?
No.
Nice is nice.
Can you believe it? There's a helicopter that connects Nice Airport, where we landed, to Monaco.
I've done that journey lots of times.
But it's brilliant.
I've never come across the airport.
It's actually only, but it's €80 or something for a helicopter ticket.
Well, it's 98 in the taxi.
So it's actually cheap. Anyway, it's brilliant. Brilliant.
Right.
What were we talking about? That's kind of the story.
Yeah,
it doesn't really go much further than that, other than it was fun and a very cycling experience to sit. And by coincidence, we were all sat in kind of rows together.
Yeah.
Well, it was by coincidence.
Yeah,
we checked in separately on separate bookings.
Sorry. Yeah.
But so we sat there,
yeah,
with the guy who just won the international criterium,
yeah,
and the
person he beat.
Richie Finney second.
Yeah.
And they had their iPhones on and they were browsing through Twitter as they do.
Yeah.
And a little bit stung and perplexed by the fact that everybody thought that Froomey had stitched him up. And so we had a little bit of chat about that. And then kind of things went quiet and the plane was about to take off and Chris Froome unzipped his bag and started reading The Secret Race by Tyler Hamilton.
Ah. Which I thought you were going to say the plane was about to take off, unzipped his bag and took out a submachine gun.
No,
that would not have been an inconsequential
as
airport
it was,
story.
Though, well, and if that had happened, then it wouldn't be on this bloody podcast now, would it? Because it would have been far too consequential rather than this particular airport story, which is fizzling out at this very moment. Except to say that later on that same day, I flew from Frankfurt. I'm just going to leave this as a little teaser. From Frankfurt Airport to Podgorica in the company of Manchester United's captain Roy Keane. We must do this again sometime soon. It's such fun. By the way, is this bloody Eurotunnel thing
ever going to go? God almighty.
The only reason you've had these two little hits of audio content, dear listener, is because we are just on the journey from hell trying to get back from Paris-Roubaix. Never mind the hell of the north. This is the hell of the Eurotunnel, isn't it?
And I had a completely sleepless night last night.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Come on then.
Have any of you lot got any inconsequential airport stories?
Now's the time.
Go on. Nah, they're useless, Matt. They haven't got anything.